All right. Over these last several weeks, we've been looking at some of the topics that we've shared through the Advent calendar. And I just want to paint with a broad brush today about what some of that means and how it weaves together. The first Sunday of Advent, we talked about the prophecy, the receiving of the Word. In another way of looking at that is receiving God's promises. First, you've got to hear it before you can receive it. And we talked about the fact that God's Word is true even in the face of the things that seem to stand against it. When the circumstances look like they're contrary to God's Word, one thing is wrong, and that's the circumstances. God is the author, and His Word is true. And then hopefully after receiving that word, the second Sunday, we talked about preparation. Preparation is to get ready to walk in what God has called you to do. He's given you a promise. He's given you direction. He is leading you, and we must prepare to walk in it. Let's kind of compare that this way. Somebody says that we're sending you on a trip day after tomorrow. Well, what do you do today and tomorrow? You get ready for the trip, right? You tie up the loose ends that need to be loose ends. You get tied in. You get somebody to take care of your dog and feed your cat. You pack some clothes. You make some phone calls and say, hey, look, you know, neighbors, look out for the house for me because we're going to leave for a few days. You make preparations. When you receive the word, when you get the plan, you make ready to walk in the plan. And that's very important where it comes to God's Word and God's prophecies and the things that He has promised us is we must prepare to walk in them. Well, how do we do that? We're not packing physical bags, but we can pack some spiritual bags. We can spend some time in prayer. We can spend time in study. Maybe we can bounce some things off trusted Christian mature advisors, and we can try to get ready for that which is to come. The third week, the key word was joy. And we wanted to receive these promises with joy. We wanted to get a level of excitement. We wanted to get built up so that as that trip comes closer, as that Christian walk comes closer, as that promise from God comes closer, we want to be excited about fulfilling it. And we even talked about how sometimes when it's too far away, we can kind of lose that excitement. We referred to the prophecies of the coming of Messiah and how the people had silence for years and years and years. And certainly some were still looking, saying Messiah could come today, while others were back there saying, well, He hadn't come yet. I don't know when it'll be, if ever. So we've got to keep the joy up because then the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? It reinforces our commitment to the promise and to the preparation that we've done. You know, it still could be today. Don't know when, but it could be today. We don't know. And then last week we talked about the gift of God being offered in love. And despite the power of the loving gift of God, if we don't know how to receive that gift, it doesn't end up doing us very much good. Or if we let other things get more important than what God is giving to us or doing for us or leading us into, how if we don't receive it, it can still seem powerless. The most powerful gift of God is rendered useless to us if we don't receive the gift. It's a two-part thing. God offers, we receive. And how we receive it is so important because we talked about, you know, sometimes it's like that gift that you get at the passing party that you look at it and say, well, what am I going to do with that? That goes in the junk closet. Have you seen the recent TV commercial where the couple's driving home and they, you know, the wife says, I can't believe you bought it. And they got a big painting in the back. And said, well, you know, it was your brother's art sale. We had to buy something. Well, what are we going to do? Where are we going to hang it? And the guy thinks a minute and says, in the attic. facing the wall. Okay. Sometimes we receive gifts like that. What am I going to do with that? You know, I've got no intention of ever using this thing. Wonder if I can return it. Well, you know, we can't do God's gifts that way now, can we? Well, yes, we can. Because, you know, if we don't receive it with anticipation, if we don't receive with joy, if we don't receive with love, then that gift is rendered null and void as far as the benefit that it can give us. So as we looked at that Advent season, you know, we were comparing that to the gift of Christ. And, of course, that is the greatest and most important gift that God gave us. But it's also a pattern for us for not just the Christmas season, but for every day of our lives. Because, you see, the Word of God's full of promises. The right now revelation of God, with the Holy Spirit living inside you that quickens you in certain areas, is an ongoing offer. And we need to every day remember those concepts. We've got to hear the promise. We've got to hear the offer. We've got to hear the prophecy. We've got to prepare to receive it. You know, sometimes, you know, some you might come to a prayer line and somebody will say something to you that might be a personal prophecy or at least might be some kind of a declaration. And what do you do with it? Well, you know, maybe you don't understand it, you're not real sure about it, and you kind of put it on the shelf, but don't just put it on the shelf and leave it. Put it on the shelf and pray about it. God, is this for me? God, is it for now? Do I share it or do I keep it in my heart? You know, Mary had a lot of revelations about the birth of Christ, and it says she pondered those things where? In her heart. She didn't go to the marketplace and ask 87 people what they thought about it. She thought about it in her heart and in her prayer time and in her study, in her quiet moments. She pondered it in her heart. Everything is not for everybody. Who knows that? Everything that God reveals to you is not necessarily to be shared. At least, and sometimes, maybe it is to be shared, but it's not to be shared now. It's to be shared later, after the promise has been fulfilled. So there are a lot of things like that that we need to keep in mind. But we need to receive it. We need to receive it with joy. It needs to instill some excitement in us. You know what? I believe God's going to do what He told me He was going to do. I believe that I can trust Him. I believe, jumping to the next part of it, that He offered it in love, therefore it must be for my best interest. You know, we've had some babies and young kids in here. You know, every so often these young kids go to the pediatrician and the nurse takes a hypodermic syringe and pokes them. Now, I'm sure they don't think that that's a good thing. But you see, it's done in love, isn't it? We need to protect you from something that your body's not capable of protecting itself against. So we want to give you an inoculation against it. Sometimes it's hard to see the end in the midst of the circumstances. And God's promises are very often like that. You see, that process is an important process. It's truly faith and trust in action. Hello. The process of hearing the promise of God, preparing to receive the promise of God, reinforcing that process with joy and understanding that it's offered in love, even if maybe the circumstances don't feel like it is, that is truly trusting God in action. Do we believe He has our best interest at heart? Do we believe that God has a plan? Do we believe that ultimately God is in control of the universe? Do we believe these things about God? Well, if we believe them, biblically believe them, that means we are trusting them. Kind of like trusting a lifeline. You know, when the helicopter's going to pluck you off the roof of the burning building, you believe that lifeline you've got to hold of while they're lifting you off is going to hold you and it's going to save you, right? You trust it. Do you trust what God says in that same way. Because you see, if there are other options, humanity tends to default to those. It seems like sometimes that, you know, okay, the emergency happens. You pray, you ask God to deliver you. You're eventually delivered out of it, but then at the end of the day, you go back and think about it. Was that really God, or was that really the fire department that saved me? Was that really God, or was that did my plan save me? You know, what saved me here in this circumstance? Human nature will do that. But trust and faith in God says, you know what? I believe that God used the fire department to save me, and I believe that He inspired me with the plan to get to the place where the fire department could save me. You see, what's the source? Is the source divine or is the source human? And we've got to understand that ultimately the only source that really matters is the divine. So the process, again, it's faith and trust in action. It's not, and that process isn't just for Christmas. It's not just for the birth of Jesus. It's not just a plan of how to be born again. It's not just for use in the case of an emergency, but that process is for every moment of every day. How do I live? I live by faith in God. Well, do you really? Do you trust His Word for guidance? Are you making preparations to walk in what His Word tells you to walk in? Does it instill joy in you? Does it kindle love in you? Are you ready to receive it regardless of whether it looks like a bad piece of artwork from your brother-in-law? Are you ready to receive what God says? You see, this is truly walking in faith in a practical, daily way. From the old tire commercial, it's where the rubber meets the road. It's the thing that makes it work. You know, if you are into racing, I know we've got a few people in here that are into racing, you can measure the horsepower of an engine at the discharge shaft of the engine, or you can measure what's actually transmitted through the tire to the track. And if you got too much power and not enough grip, it doesn't work real well. If you've got lots and lots of grip and no power, it doesn't work real well. The thing is to optimize it, and to optimize it where the rubber meets the road is to let God's plan be implemented in your life. Okay? And we got to do that by walking in faith. I'll take you to a good example. The book of Genesis in the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 1, the Word of God says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. I'm going to stop right there. Now, all of you micromanagers of your own life out there, what questions do you have for God when He asks you, when He makes this proclamation to you? You're supposed to leave your home and your family and everything you've always known and go to a place I will show you. What place? Where is it? When are we leaving? Who's going with me? What are the directions? I don't know where to go. What's going to happen when I get there? To those of you Tolkien fans, like the young hobbits would have said, are there inns along the way? What's, you know, can I have an itinerary for this trip, Lord? Okay, so what does Abram do? Apparently he doesn't ask any of those questions. He says, okay, let's go. It says that he got up and went. He trusted God, didn't he? He didn't know what the circumstances were going to be. He didn't know what struggles there would be along the way. He didn't know what difficulties there were going to be. He didn't know how long it'd take for the fulfillment of the promise for heirs and descendants and the blessing of everybody through him. He had no idea how long any of that was going to take. And he had the rest of his life walking, believing that God had a plan for him. There was a lot of that promise he didn't get to see, did he? He didn't see possession of great swaths of land. He didn't see many descendants. God reinforced this same promise in several other places, and he tells him he's going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. He had a handful when he died. He didn't possess, the only land he bought was the land he bought for his wife's burial. Abram didn't get to possess a lot of things, but he trusted God. And he was willing, on the basis of that trust, to say, Lord, I'll go wherever you lead me. And the result is history, isn't it? The result is there. Abram, later Abraham, could trust God. He proved it. God proved it out to him. We stand at the end of 2023 getting ready to walk into 2024. And there are questions ahead of us as we walk into 2024. There's uncertainty all around us. There's political uncertainty. There's uncertainty in the realm of wars and rumors of wars raging across this world that we live in. There are questions about whether the traditional morality will stand forth or whether new moralities will take over. What kind of mandates are we going to have? Can we handle inflation? Is Social Security going to go bankrupt? All of these things are out there and they cause us uncertainty. Many of us have situations in our lives or in our families that are unresolved and we don't know how it's going to turn out. But we can trust the one who does. Do we have faith that God has us? Now, am I saying that we walk blindly ahead? No. Sometimes it's prudent to make preparations. Matter of fact, it's usually prudent to make some preparations. But at the end of the day, if it goes left or right, forwards or backwards, if our side wins or if our side loses, God is still God. And do we trust Him? Joseph trusted God when he was his father's favorite and he got a pretty coat. Joseph trusted God when he was lied on by Potiphar's wife and thrown into the prison. Abram trusted God when he left Ur of the Chaldees, and he trusted God when the son of the promise, when Isaac was born. The world, at least part of it anyway, trusted that the prophecies of a coming Messiah were true, and God sent a Messiah. And if we look back at our lives, there are countless places where we have seen the hand of God, or maybe we haven't seen it. Maybe He was working behind the scenes. Maybe He was working in a direction that we thought He would work, and maybe He is accomplishing the same thing by going by a totally different course. But at the end of the day, we're still here, and many of us have trusted God to get here. But I'm sure there are some of us who, at least at seasons in our life, have trusted to our own understanding. And we've leaned on that instead of the truth of God. And sometimes, in spite of ourselves, God still preserves us and brings us to the appointed time and the appointed place. So how do we face the coming year? How do we face this new world that we see coming in 2024? We face it with trust in God. We face it with a firm conviction that God is still God regardless of the circumstances around us. We face it with joy because we can trust God. You know what? If it turns out the way we think it's going to turn out and it's all happy, happy, we can trust that in joy. But if we see God come through in some obscure way, some way we didn't anticipate, then we can count that as joy too because God's full of surprises, isn't He? I didn't think He'd do it that way, but He did it. Some of us are old enough to remember a singer named Carly Simon in the early 70s, and one of her great hits was a song called Anticipation. It starts out, says, "We can never know about the days to come, but we think about them anyway." We truly can't know for sure about the days to come, but we can trust the one who does know what the days to come have in store. God loves us. He cares for us. He will preserve us if we'll only trust Him. And the most dangerous place about the days to come is if we run out from under the covering of God. The most dangerous place to be is if we're out of His protection. Now, sometimes He pursues us. Remember what happened when Elijah got scared of a pagan queen? God let him run, but He met him at the end of the journey. He said, "Elijah, what are you doing here? No, you're not the only one left, and no, I'm not done with you. Here's your agenda. Go do this, this, and this. Get back to work, boy. Get your head straight." Sometimes God pursues us, but it's dangerous to run out from under His covering. It's dangerous to run out from under His protection and try to do it our way. We got to trust Him. There was a time when Israel was being taken off into foreign captivity, and the prophet said something very unpopular to some of the people. "If you stay here in your own city, you're at risk because my plan is for you to go with your captors into captivity, and there you will learn more of me." God's message isn't always popular. His methods aren't always popular, but He is always right. Only thing we can trust in is the One. But let me also say this, and I see this more and more in this body. We're going to experience some of it tonight. That as we each follow our journey under the leadership of God, as we each individually trust Him, we can also trust Him together as a body of believers. We can be here to support each other. We can be here to pray for each other. We can be here to pick each other up when we fall down. We can be here to pull each other down when we exalt ourselves. We can be here for each other as a body of believers because a body is more powerful than a single cell. A body is more powerful than an individual. We are more together than we are separately. And we're even more together when we're all together with God in our midst. Everything explodes exponentially as to what we can accomplish for God, as to what we can accomplish to help each other on the journey, to accomplish an impact of godliness in our community. We can meet emotional needs, we can meet physical needs, if we do it together with God, if we do it as a body of believers and not as a collection of individuals. It's so important. that we pull with God and that we pull together with God. Those are my words for the beginning of 2024. I trust that they've meant something to you. I trust that they have stirred something in you. But as we walk away from here, as we conclude this service, the important thing is that we trust God and that we trust God together. Because in that is our only hope of success. Amen, congregation. Gentlemen, if you come forward, we'll prepare to distribute the elements for communion. As is our custom for the last Sunday of the month, we'll share the Lord's Supper, which is a symbolic representation of the unity of the body and of the perfect sacrifice that Christ Jesus made for each one of us. Scripture is very clear that we should, whenever we come together, that we should do this on a regular basis. But it's also equally clear that we should not take of communion what the biblical record calls unworthily. And that is interpreted by most as with known sin in your life and heart. So before the gentlemen move forward with the elements, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of general confession. I'm going to go silent for a moment and let you make personal confession if you feel the need to do so. Father God, Your perfection is always before us. And we as human beings are flawed. We fail. We stumble. Father, we have sinned against You in thought, in word, and in deed. We have harbored thoughts in our minds which are not in conformance with Your word and Your will. We've spoken words that should not have been spoken, and we remain silent when we should have spoken. And Father, we have done things that are contrary to Your word and will, and we have not done that which You have called us to do. I speak this as a body and as an individual. It's true for each of us individually. It's true for us as the body of believers. Now, Father, I ask that You forgive us through the merits of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, through the power of His shed blood applied on the altar. And Father, by the merit of that and the fact that He did it for us and offered its merits to us, we receive Your forgiveness. And now, Father, we'll take a moment individually to confess to You. Father, we believe that You've heard our prayers, and we believe that You desire to forgive us, and we receive Your forgiveness in the same love in which You offer it. The people said, Amen. You know, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He gathered with His disciples in that final Passover Seder. And He compared what God had done to deliver the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt to what He was about to go through. And He gave them the true meaning of these traditions that they had been observing for their whole lives. He said, you know, this was just it was a valid and true thing that happened in Egypt, but it's a picture of what I'm going to do. Because you see, the perfect sacrifice had to be made. The blood had to be shed, but the blood also had to be applied before it was good. And the people had to stay under the protection of the applied blood so that death did not visit them that night in Egypt. That's an important pattern for us. We've got to understand that what Jesus did is valid for us only if we receive it and only if we actually apply what He did to us. We can give Him all the lip service in the world, but it's only powerful when it's ministered in truth, when it's received in truth. So as the gentlemen finish passing out the elements, we'll prepare to share this together. Okay. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, in the context of that Passover Seder, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he told his disciples, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup and he blessed it. He said, "Take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me." Father God, we've shared the elements this morning that you have caused us to do in remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you apply the merits of that sacrifice to us. And as we have shared the symbolic body and blood of Christ, knit us together with you and with each other in this covenant relationship based on the true broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, you promised those of us who would receive you would receive your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit to live big in us. Quicken our spiritual awareness and discernment to hear the voice of the Spirit as He lives inside us and as He leads us. And as you speak truth to us through that Holy Presence. Father, as we conclude the year 2023 and step into the year 2024, Father, we ask that you awaken a new birth of the realization of the power and grace of Christ Jesus. Well it up in us, Lord. Fill us to where we can no longer contain it, and Jesus has to just squirt out of us at every step we take. Let there be wet footprints of the presence of Christ everywhere we tread. Let our words be a sweet savor in your ears and powerful to those who need to come to you. Let our actions bring honor and glory to Christ Jesus. And let our lives be a sweet savor to you. Go with us as we depart this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you